Yeah, and welcome back to Indie Live Radio. We're currently trying to set up a telephone chat with Graeme McCormack from the annual ground rent campaign. If you bear with us, we'll try and get that sorted. It doesn't take that much. We'll just try to get him on. He might answer in a minute. It's coming through my headphones. They're ringing.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Is that Graeme?
It is indeed, yes. Hello.
Hello, Graeme. You're live on Indie Live Radio.
All right, okay.
We'd like to find out a bit more about annual ground rent, if that's okay, Graeme.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem at all. I'm just working on that just now, as it happens.
Right. For folk who don't understand it, Graeme, we know here at Indie Live Radio that it's not an added, it's not going to be an extra tax. It's going to be a replacement tax. Could you fill us in the details? Sorry, put
Surely.
Right.
Well, I mean, there are different forms of land value taxation or annual ground rent.
Mm-hmm.
And the model that I propose is basically a model of annual ground rent, which replaces or has the capacity to replace all existing UK, Scottish and local government taxes.
Wow.
And basically how it's done is that there are certain land types. For simplicity, I've got four land types, which is what's called an urban rate,
yes,
a marginal land rate, an agricultural rate, and a woodland rate. Basically, you calculate the area of a property. So if we take, mm-hmm. say, a detached house,
okay.
You would calculate the area of the garden ground in the house.
Uh-huh.
In square meters, you then calculate the area of any additional floor that it's got. So if it's got a first floor or a basement floor, you calculate that.
Right.
You calculate the area of the roof. You calculate the area of the public verge or pavement just outside the property,
mm-hmm.
and half the roadway. And you add that all up and you multiply it by the appropriate urban rates. Now, in the model that I'm using, the rate is £7.124 per square meter.
Right, Graeme. How would an ordinary person be able to measure all that area, the roof? Would that be done for them, or is that just they have to do that themselves?
Well, they could do it themselves, or they could get somebody to do it for them. I mean, it's
uh-huh.
as simple as basically using a measuring tape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As long as they know how to use a measuring tape and how to multiply and then add up, you know.
Perfect.
They could do that if they've got a calculator handy or do it in a bit of paper. Alternatively, they could use a website such as daftlogic.com,
aye.
Which will actually measure vast areas and small areas.
Great.
On that. Now, the point about my model, mm-hmm. is that people just make their return themselves online to Revenue Scotland.
Oh,
so they just do the calculation, mm-hmm. and they would just log it in online to Revenue Scotland's website,
mm-hmm.
and Revenue Scotland would accept that. And then the payment would be made. It could be made either in one go or presumably over, say, 10 months, such as happens with council tax just now. It would be a public register.
Uh-huh.
So basically anyone in Scotland could go on and see what anyone else or any company is paying in EGR or whatever we want to call it,
right.
At any time. So it would be largely self-policing because most properties in Scotland are not unique.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a three-bedroom, semi-detached house in Bishop Briggs, for example...
Yeah, that's good, an
you
example.
You see what your neighbours... You know, you could then see what your neighbour's return had been made. And unless your neighbour maybe had a fancy extension out the back or something like that,
aye.
You don't have, then the figures should be more or less the same. There'd be slight differences because all gardens are slightly different sizes.
Okay.
But that's basically, it's very, very simple.
Well, so far so good. But what about uh-huh. the money raised from annual ground rent? Would that be more or... less than the council tax? How would it work that way?
Well, it's to cover not just council taxes, to cover all taxes.
Oh,
so
right.
If we look at the... Yeah. So if you look, for example, at the GERS figures, which are published every year, albeit, you know, they're There are disputes as to how they are calculated, but if we go on the basis of that, and that these are really the sums on which most political arguments regarding independence or unionism are based. But
yes,
for the last financial year, it was around about £73 billion. So that was the total amount of public spending in Scotland by the UK government, the Scottish government, the agencies, and local government.
Wow.
So that's basically the total amount. That's obviously not enough, in my opinion, because we've got to be concerned about, addressing the issues of austerity and infrastructure.
Exactly.
And also, I think going forward, people are actually quite keen on the idea that we have a universal citizen's income.
Yes.
So I built that into the figures which my model proposed. So I've added quite a wee bit to £73 billion. I've actually increased it to £100 billion.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but within the £73 billion, JERS estimates that the social security budget in Scotland is about £27 billion.
Yeah, we could take them up and salt.
So by adding the extra £27 billion. To that figure, to get £100 billion, I'm making provision for a universal citizen's income for every man, woman, and child in Scotland of £200 a week, which to a large extent would render the social security budget unnecessary, with the exception of people that have got exceptional needs.
Yes.
That would replace things like pensions, credits, and all that kind of stuff, and social security. Mm. So if we work it out on the £100 billion a year, and divide it by the land in Scotland and the different land types. You're basically saying that, for example, somebody in a pretty modest, shall we say, two-bedroomed detached house would only be paying about £2,000 a year in total, as opposed to all the other taxes which they pay just now.
So are you talking about a universal tax system rather than different tax systems? You can just envelop it in one.
You could just one. The only public funding, only source of public funding would be from the land. It would be annual ground rent on the land and the property on which was situated on the land.
Right. Now,
so you wouldn't require taxes on anything else, on income, on consumption such as VAT, on corporation tax if you were a company, on commercial rates if you're a company, or council tax if you are, a domestic house owner. You wouldn't need these. Now, it might well be that policy makers would say that there are certain taxes which we should retain, such as on alcohol, on betting, and these sort of things, because they're behavioural taxes.
That's right.
But by far the principal source of public revenue would be annual ground rent.
Now, this sounds all good and fair, but I'm sure there's going to be big losers, particularly landowners. And I come from the Highlands, and I know there's lots of land that doesn't get taxed on just now. And they use it for grouse shooting and things like that. Could we rope them in and saying, look, we're measuring
they would be included within this because if we take, for example, I think Mr. Anders Plofsen, the Danish billionaire, Scotland's largest landowner now, I've calculated that his rough grazing, and this is a guesstimate, but I've calculated his rough grazing is about 687,820,000 square metres.
Wow.
It's possibly more than that because he keeps buying other estates. I'm sure he's a nice guy and he's doing some good work as far as I can understand on conservation, etc. But apart from any modest commercial rates that he has to pay for land that's been set aside for shooting or whatever.
Yes.
I reckon on my model, the annual ground rent he would pay would be about nearly £10.5 million. Now that's something he just doesn't pay anything on just now.
Aye, that's a lot of money.
He does, you know, he obviously pays. He'll pay council tax on the houses that he has, and also there'll be commercial rates too on the commercial aspects of of the buildings on his land. Mm-hmm. So he would be looking for him to pay something like that. Similarly, if you look at Balmoral Castle.
Now,
in order to preserve the anonymity of the owner of that, we'll call her Senga. But you know, according to the council tax records, it's National Castle itself.
Yes,
it's less than about £2,700 a year in council tax.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow, you know, I thought it'd be on.
And, I mean, it's slightly less than that, I think, because it's not connected to the public sewerage system.
Still a bit.
Roughly that kind of figure.
Yeah.
I've calculated with my figure that it would be just short of £100,000 a year in annual ground rent for the castle itself.
For the building.
That's just the castle itself. On top of that, any other buildings would be liable for it, and also the land itself would be liable for a charge at the annual ground rent as well.
I just ask a question? So if she's got, say, Balmoral Castle, now that's where she stays, so that's going to get a ground rent on it. What if she's got stables? How does that...
They would have an annual ground rent too. They would have an annual ground rent, and that would be charged per square metre as well.
So that's getting on to my next question. If I've got a garage in my garden... Does that count as well?
That counts as a building. So you'd be like, if it was a, shall we say, a single story building that was your garage, then basically it would be the roof of your garage would be added to your the rest of the calculation in your property.
Right.
So the square meters of the roof of your garage would be added to. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's fine because it's a fair system for the Queen or Senga and me. But she has to pay a bit more because she's got more of a garage than I have.
That's right. And if you look at a tenement flat, for example, there are certain parts of that building which are common. So if you were the owner of a tenement flat, you would calculate the floor area of your flat, and then you would calculate separately the floor area of the close, the stairs, the landing, the back court, any front area, the pavement, and half the road, and then divide that by the number of flats in the tenement.
And so
if there were six flats, say it would be a six that you'd be liable for. And then, so that would be included in part of your return to Revenue Scotland.
Right. Now, Graham, I'm not sure about businesses, but how will that impact on them? Would it be the same format? Would they have to cover the cost of their offices or whatever?
Under my model, they wouldn't be liable to pay commercial rates. They wouldn't be liable to pay corporation tax or income tax either if they ran it as a one-man business or a one-person business or partnership.
Yes.
So, you know, they could make substantial savings here. In addition to which, you know, they wouldn't have all the paperwork that they've got to do just now. They wouldn't need to employ, you know, accountants to prepare their tax returns and things like that. It's just so straightforward. So there'd be a considerable saving, you know, to business and private individuals too, in the returns that they were making. And not only that, they would know at the start of every financial year what their liability was going to be.
Of course, it could forecast easier going ahead.
That's right.
Graham, how is the political establishment taken to your idea of an annual ground rent?
Well, it's first of all, let's say I think most political parties in Scotland pay lip service to the idea of some form of land value taxation. The SNP have indicated they're for it. I think Labour, Lib Dem, and the Greens have all, indicated a kind of willingness to consider it favourably. I'm not so sure about the Tories, but you know, who knows? They might come on board at some point. But anyway, so there's a majority. Shall we say there's a majority of the political establishment have shown more than a passing interest in the idea of land value taxation. Derek Mackay instructed the Land Commission to consider land value taxation as part of their remit, and they have a, a report out where they had asked, I thought rather ironically, the University of Reading, not one of the Scottish universities,
yeah, that is ironic,
to basically consider different forms of land value taxes in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they've reported on that. It's not a particularly exhaustive piece of work. But anyway, they've done that as a first step. And as far as I understand it, the Land Commission will now invite organisations and people to submit proposals for forms of land value taxation,
right,
which will then, you know, which will then be presented basically to the Scottish government and politicians generally.
Yes,
and I do understand that separately. I think the Scottish government are proposing a cross-party committee of parliamentarians to consider a replacement for the council tax, which includes some form of land value taxation, albeit that's kind of narrowed down to a replacement for council tax and not for necessarily general taxation.
Mm-hmm.
As regards the political establishment, I have demonstrated models of this to certain Scottish government ministers, to some MSPs and MPs, and to, I don't know, maybe between 30 and 40 presentations around the country to various YES and SNP groups.
How's it been received?
And,
how's it been received? How's it been received as you've
toured the
country?
It's been pretty enthusiastically received by the branches and SNP groups. I rarely meet somebody who's dead against it. As regards the politicians, they're more guarded, which I think there's, you know, it's fair enough, but there's not been an out-and-out refusal to sort of accept the principles of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that nobody's actually questions my figures.
Well, that's positive.
That's positive. So moving forward, it's trying to garner more and more support. More and more support for it, and we'll see where we go from there. And obviously, the Andrew Wilson Sustainable Growth Commission report has not been wholeheartedly received by the Independence family, if I can put it like that.
Indeed.
And there are moves within the SNP, to challenge, I think, the premise of that report. It's kind of disappointing that I don't think that report really refers to the possibility of land being our principal source of funding.
Correct.
It seems to just disregard that.
Yeah, we agree with that.
I think that's a serious flaw in it.
It is.
Amongst some other flaws. So I think that's really got to be addressed, because, I mean, I know that in 2017 Spring Conference, SNP, you know, there was overwhelming support for the idea of land being a principal source of public funding.
Yes.
So I think that's got to be recognised within the mix.
Aye. So I was able to see Andy Whiteman at a meeting at the RIC. That was in 2015, after the referendum, mm-hmm. and he spoke passionately about land reform and the powers that are against him for trying to get transparency and who owns the land, etc., were overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
If we get an annual ground rent, do we not have to find out who owns that rent, that land first?
No. I mean, all land in Scotland is owned by somebody.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know there's concerns about trusts, offshore trusts owning land and all the rest of it. But the beauty of this system is it doesn't matter who owns it.
Uh-huh.
If the land isn't, if the rent isn't paid, if the annual ground rent isn't paid, then they basically lose the land, lose the title to the land.
So is it a compulsory takeover?
No, you see, what basically happens is that the return has got to be made to Revenue Scotland. Revenue Scotland is a very, very close working relationship with the Land Register of Scotland. And the Land Register has what's called the Cadastral Plan of Scotland.
That's right.
They're gradually filling up. through the increase in digital land registration. Basically, what happens is that people, if their property was already registered, then they could go on to the annual ground rent register. The plan of their property would come up, and then they would just complete the other details. Uh-huh. If their property was not registered in the land register, but was recorded in the General Register of Seizings, which is the historic record that goes way back to 1617, then basically they would go on, and they would then be invited by Revenue Scotland to identify on the cadastral plan what they have a title for in the Register of Seizings.
Right.
And if that was accepted by Revenue Scotland, then they would calculate what their liability was.
Right.
Now, there are two reasons for that. One reason is that there is the Land Register are struggling to complete the Land Register of Scotland map by 2024. And that's because some of the old title deeds are really quite woolly as to the descriptions. So there's quite a lot of discussion going on between landed estates and also parts of the public registers, corporations such as Network Rail and people like that, as to what they own. So this would be one way of hastening the completion of the land register, because if people made a return on annual ground rent on a plan, then they couldn't then come back and say, well, I actually own more than that in the land register. Otherwise, basically, that would be a fraud in the register. So that's one reason why it's done like that.
Yes,
but you see, the thing is that the land register would, or Revenue Scotland, see this cadastral plan, and if there were bits that hadn't been filled in by people making a return, then what would happen would be that Revenue Scotland could put an automatic charge on all title deeds at the start of every financial year.
All right.
And that charge would mean that you couldn't sell the property or any part of it or remortgage it until you had paid the annual ground rent.
You've just stolen my thunder. That was going to be my next question. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now if the annual ground rent and the costs involved in trying to collect it or anything like that was not paid within, say, a 3-year period, so it remained unpaid for 3 years, then basically Revenue Scotland would have the power to repossess that land.
At that point, is that when we're going to get the worst of this? Because this could come to court, couldn't it, if we don't know who owns it? And if they refuse to pay it, if there's a refusal to pay it and they don't want to give up their land, how do we get this into statute so that they can, if the political parties are not that yet willing to look at this?
Well, I mean, obviously, to introduce annual ground rent is going to require legislation of the Scottish Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any new tax or revenue raising or whatever is going to require legislation. Mm-hmm. So basically, it would be part of the legislation in order to secure the payment of the tax that Revenue Scotland would be empowered to register charges over every piece of land in Scotland and property in Scotland until, and that would only come off once the annual ground rent had been paid.
So they're going to be a very powerful organisation to tackle all this.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar. It's similar to what a mortgage lender can do just now. If you've got a mortgage out with one of the lenders, and you fail to pay the mortgage, then the mortgage lender can repossess the property.
That's right. It's brutal.
And in fact, it can repossess the property even if it doesn't know where the owner is. So it doesn't
That's
matter
true.
Whether it's a blind trust or anything, whether they're in the Grand Caymans or anywhere.
I know.
You can repossess. So basically, then the responsibility would be on the owner of the land to challenge the right of Revenue Scotland to repossess the land, and the only basis on which they could really challenge it would be to say, well, you know, we've paid the annual ground rent on it.
Aye. So if they haven't, they've got
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right. Graham, we've got 1 minute left before we go into music. Is there a web page, or how can people get more information on this, and how can they update their knowledge on this?
Right. Well, I mean, we have a website called annualgroundrent.com, which we're sort of slowly developing. I'm also doing several sort of presentations around Scotland. There's groups and SNP groups are putting it on Facebook. And even if somebody wants to contact me direct, I can give you my email, personal email address, mm-hmm. where they can contact me. And it's T for Thomas 1, the figure 1.
T for Thomas 1. Yep, I'm writing this down.
That's
F-E-U.
At hotmail.com.
Right.
I'm happy to answer any questions, or indeed, if somebody's got, if they can give me their property address and the style of house they've got, I'll even work out what I reckon their annual ground rent would be.
Brilliant. Well, we're getting messages coming in, so we'll kind of try and get them put out. It would be absolutely great to get you in for a chat, but I know you're not you're not in Glasgow, you're somewhere else, so it's very difficult.
Yep.
But if you give us, if you can send details of where you're going to be in the next few weeks and months, we'll promote them on the radio for you.
Right, that's super. That's fantastic. Great.
Meanwhile, Graham, thank you very much for being on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Okay. I really enjoyed it.
Right.
Thank you very
much. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.